There's a little sunshine out there. This counts for something. I'm not sure what, but it counts for something with a little sunshine and it very cold. Slippery conditions. It's going to stay that way as long as it's freezing or below. And it is. Spring break's over for students at MSU, and they're making their way back on campus this morning. They'll notice some, among other things, some new security measures that have been talked about for a couple of weeks and are now in place. Bringing us the very latest on that, our senior news analyst Chris Renwick joins us this morning. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Paulie. Hard to believe that we are exactly 1 month from that deadly shooting that took the lives of three Michigan State students, gravely injured five others. And it's a sobering reminder that nobody is immune to this type of thing, and certainly Michigan State being one of them. But the university's taking some serious, measures to make the campus safer. And now, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, they rolled out what they were going to do. Today, we're starting to see some of the fruits of their labor. Buildings on campus. You're talking about roughly 600 buildings will require key card access from 6 o'clock at night to 7:30 in the morning, Monday through Fridays, and at all times on the weekends. Chris Rosman, who is the MSU interim deputy chief, telling media outlets that all of our students, faculty, and staff will need their Spartan ID to access those buildings. So it's the security, it's the first security measure, that first line of security. And that's important for students to know. Also, more than 1,300 classrooms are being equipped with locks. And as you can imagine, that is an incredible undertaking that you can't just, you know, snap your fingers and have 1,300 classrooms being equipped with locks. So that is going to continue, but that process is already underway, probably will be done around the fall time, according to MSU Public Safety. Also, starting this fall, you're talking about all students, all staff, all faculty will need to undergo mandatory active assailant training. And you heard some of the authorities talk about it that night and in the days after the deadly shooting. How well not only staff, but students in those situations at Berkey or at the Union, how well they acted and the way that they were able to help fellow students was impressive. But everybody will need to go through that starting this fall. Also, you're talking about 2,000 security cameras that are already on campus. More is being installed because they want eyes on pretty much every corner. And this is a vast campus, Paul. You're talking 5,300 acres. Again, I told you 600 buildings. It's a massive place. So it's an undertaking, but they are well underway. There was a planned walkout scheduled for today to talk about the impact of the shooting and the impact that it's had on the community at MSU. It was postponed because of the weather. It's going to take place Sunday. But again, it's just one of those situations where students are voicing their concerns, voicing, you know, any sort of feelings that they have. Everybody's grieving differently and healing differently, but certainly some concrete measures will be noticeable today at MSU.
Fascinatingly, interestingly enough, though this walk that was supposed to happen today did not happen, it was 5 years ago today that tens of thousands of students across the country walked out of their classrooms to demand action on gun violence and school safety. That action coming a month after the shooting that killed 17 people at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida.
Yep.
So here we go again. That was 5 years ago. These kids were going to do the same thing 5 years later, and we've not come any further along in creating these safe spaces that we know as schools. And we send our kids off and trust and want it to be a safe place, but we don't have the answers still.
No, and you bring up a really good point. It feels like deja vu. It feels your heart breaks because you're right. You do send your kids to these places whether it's an institution of higher learning, a wonderful university like Michigan State, or, you know, a public school. And so it's particularly heartbreaking when you find yourself here again, and students are left to do, you know, there's not a lot they can do, right? And they have to make their voices heard however they can, and these walkouts are a way to do that. And so it is particularly troubling. Almost exactly to the day, 5 years later, we're going to, you know, have another walkout among students
that we have not progressed,
right?
We've not made the moves that are necessary because politics gets in the way. There are people who have their own ideas about taking guns away from law-abiding United States citizens, which is wrong. And there are people who, I don't know, want to look the other way when it comes to the mental illness problem that we have in this country and don't have any solution for that right now either.
No. I mean, look, the good news on mental illness, and obviously Anthony McRae suffered from some sort of mental illness. But the good news on mental illness is it's being talked about now. It used to not be talked about. You used to suppress it. You used to push it down. And there was probably shame attached to it. That's not the case anymore. At least the effort is underway to destigmatize mental health, the awareness, I suppose. So that's the good news. The part where I think is the disconnect is, you know, you as somebody who may be dealing with something internally, the onus is on you to go find that help. And what you know, so many other community partners are doing around the country is making that help available. They're making it available. I talked to Marie one day. She did a story about an app that is basically centralizing all of these mental health options and treatments for people. And all you got to do is go onto the app and they'll find you somebody within, you know, walking distance, basically. And so with those types of tools, you hope that somebody's able to recognize and say, okay, I got something going on. I gotta go find help. But yeah, we're really late to the game, and so it is something that we have to play catch up on, and hopefully, you know, stop something like this from happening.
I need to add to what you're saying, not disagree. Add, the person who needs the help, the person who has a mental illness, is not necessarily the person who's going to understand they should turn themselves in for help. This is where families have got to speak up. Neighbors, you got a guy target shooting out of the back door of his house into his backyard. Maybe the neighbors did speak up, but my point only being, oftentimes the person who is suffering from the mental illness is not the person we can count on to turn themselves in to get help.
It's a great point. In a lot of cases, how many times have we heard it takes a village, right? It takes a village. Everybody should be looking out for each other. And in those cases, you're right. If family sees something that they feel is concerning, absolutely. You got to reach out and get
somebody help.
They have
to speak up, and they have to feel confident that when they speak up, and maybe it's not the police they call, because how many times have we heard stories where the family calls the police, and then the family complains that when the police came and the person attacked the police shot and killed them, and they go, I would never have called the police if I knew this was going to happen. Might I suggest you don't call the police for mental illness problems? Because that's
good point.
That's not what they're set up to help with.
It's not in their job description a lot of the times. You're right.
No, but we call upon them for that sort of thing all the time. All righty. Always a pleasure, Chris. Thanks very much.
You got it, Paulie.
Chris Renwick, WJR Senior News Analyst. And finally coming up here, Steve Courtney is going to be here and talking about this unfortunate news about such an important person for so many years, MSU's Susie Merchant stepping down as MSU's women's basketball coach.